just say a little bit more what Laura said, that, you know, those girls' lives will be changed forever. And if you can, you know, I know we give to the orphanage, and it's a great ministry, and we continue to do that. But anytime you have an opportunity to help somebody from here go down there, I mean, it's a huge blessing to them, and you will be more of a part of what's going on down there. Because they'll never be the same. Is that right, girls? Never be the same. Amen. Well, I said get your Bibles out, right? All right. Go to James, first of all. I got the last part of, I think it's the last part of, before I start in James, about our, we've been talking about marriage. Remember, I had five things that everybody needs to understand when you're getting into a marriage. Or, as in Tracy and I's case, after about 29 years, you start figuring them out then. So in 29 years, we kind of figured all this, trying to figure all this out. You need to be on the same page on communication, children, money, religion, and in-laws. You got to have all those things figured out, folks, if you're gonna have a happy, fulfilling marriage. And the communication thing, that's the one. Tracy and I, we're still working on this. Like I said, the communicating in a marriage, I'm a guy, she's a girl, it just, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? The other day we are in, I take her to HEB, and she's going to go in and get some stuff, and I'm going to sit in the truck. Is that the way it works usually with everybody else? Or do y'all go in? It was hot, but I had an air conditioner, so I just sit out there and let the truck run. And so anyway, when I knew, she always texts me when she gets ready to come out, so I can come up there and pick her up, or tell her where the vehicle is in the parking lot. So I'm sitting there, and I think, well, I'll get one up on this. You know, I'm going to communicate. So I text her, and I forgot to bring my phone up here, but I texted her something like, well, if you're standing, if you're looking at the front of the store, come out on the door on your left, and I'll be there. Well, what I neglected to do is she's on the inside and I'm on the outside, so that makes left two totally different doors. So she comes out on the far, barely see her, take a pair of binoculars to see her down there on the right-hand side of HEB. And if this would have been 5 years ago, there would have been a fight. But we finally just learned, just it ain't that big a deal, folks. It's really not that big a deal. So anyhow, that's communication. The one quick one this morning is in-laws. You've got to learn how to deal with in-laws. How many of y'all listen to Dave Ramsey or have ever heard anything Dave Ramsey's ever said? This is one of his deals. Do not buy a house within the first year of your marriage. And the reason is so you know how far away to buy from your in-laws. And that's the truth. Just a boundary issue. You know, married couples, young married couples, these are just some things y'all need to get figured out. And hopefully you do it before you get married so you don't have all the troubles we had. Amen? James 1. Let me get there. If I was going to title this or anything, I'd title it Doing It God's Way. Because how many of y'all know that there's lots of ways that you can try to walk and be a human being on this earth, but there is one way that God has kind of laid out and said, if you'll do this and this and this and this, those are the things that work in the long run. I have argued with God and said, God, this is not going to work out real good. If I do it your way, this is not going to work out good. Look, it's not going to work out. But in the long haul, doing it God's way will be the best way for you and everybody around you. All right, got a glare on that. Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith. When I read this 2 months ago, it shocked me because I've always read, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. I just thought that was talking about asking something of God, that you're supposed to ask in faith, not wavering. But if you look at that scripture right there, that word but connects the two. In other words, it says, this, the topic here, what we're talking about, if any of you lack wisdom, is that what we're talking about? Wisdom, okay? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God for what? Wisdom. Let him ask God for wisdom. That giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Let him ask what in faith? For wisdom. You know why God's saying ask him for wisdom in faith? Because what you're fixing to hear is not going to make sense to your carnal brain. It's just not going to make sense. God, I'm learning, I mean, I like to play golf. In golf, if you want the ball to go up, you hit down. If you want it to go right, you hit it left. If you want it to go left, you hit right. That's just the way it is. It's the way it works. Don't know why? That's just the way it works. And God has ways of doing things that do not make sense to us. But I'm telling you, if you will get connected and you will do it the way God says, in the long run, you're going to come out on top. You're going to come out far ahead of where you would have been if you would not have done it God's way. You say, well, I've turned out pretty good and I didn't do it God's way. Well, just look how far ahead you'd have been if you'd have done it God's way. There ain't no telling what you'd be accomplishing nowadays. Look at Romans 8:7. Oop, that was the wrong button. I'm still learning this thing. So y'all are probably going to get there before I do. Okay. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Look at Hebrews 3:10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said, they do always err in their hearts. They do not know my ways, so I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The carnal brain, I'm telling you, is not... Well, let me explain a carnal brain for you for a second. All a carnal mind is someone who's grown up listening to mom and dad, if they were carnal-minded also. It's just looking out and seeing your environment and making decisions based on your environment. Not saying they're really bad decisions. It's not that. It's just that God has a different way of doing things. And that's what we need to learn. We need to find out how does God operate? In that situation, whatever you're going through, what would God be doing in that situation? How would he handle it? And that's our job, is to try to figure that out and then do it the way he would do it. Is that right? Look at Romans 1:20. It says this, for the invisible things of him, who's him? God. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Does that make any sense there? The invisible things of the world from him are clearly seen. That means what that's talking about is you can look out there of everything that's seen in the world, and it has a representation of God. Look at the oak tree. Everybody take a look at the oak tree out there. How old do you think those oak trees are? I don't know. I mean, I'm just guessing. How old? Just get a consensus. I mean, 40? How old are they, Frankie? Okay. So they're 50 years old? 60 years old? 70 years old? 100 years old? Okay. Did you know that those oak trees out there are just now beginning to produce a little bit of shade? And it's been 100 years? So if you plan on growing an oak tree, you better start planting. Now. Because most of us ain't going to be around in 100 years. So if you want a little If you want some shade and you don't have shade, you need to plant. Plant an oak tree. If you're going to plant an oak tree, it's going to take time. One of the things that that's just real in my life is the way God teaches us to give. And one of the reasons I say it a lot is because it's really real in my life. Did you know that if you're going to... The Bible says that if you give, that it'll come back on every wave. But if you only give once, it's not coming back on every wave. There, God wants to, you to have a continual lifestyle of giving. And if you have a continual lifestyle of giving, you will have a continual harvest time in your life. But here's what usually happens, and people get mad at God, and there's no reason to get mad at God. But they hear me, a preacher, or they hear somebody, and say kind of what I just said, so they get in a bind one day financially, and they go, you know what, I need to give. That's the answer, I need to give. So they come to church the next day, and they and truly, from their heart, go, I need to give. That's the answer, I've got to give. And they give, and then next week, nothing changes. Well, it's totally against the way God says to do it. Because that seed that you put in the ground today is for your months ahead. It's for stuff coming up that you don't even have a clue what's coming up about. You're living today on what you sowed years ago. And that's just the way it works. You say, well, I'm having a hard time. Well, you're living today on what you sowed years ago and months ago. It's the same way in the natural. How many of y'all know when dove season starts? I do. September 1. North of 90. Yep, you're exactly right. North of 90. Love to dove hunt. So about April, I went out there and plowed up my field. Planted a dove mixture that I found out that the deer eat everything but what, Frankie? The millet? Yeah, I got lots of millet, but all the sunflowers and all that good stuff the deer already ate. But that was planted 5 months ago for something that's fixing to happen in September. And that's just the way God works, people. If you want finances, if you want God to bless you in your finances and stuff, it takes a continual giving, day in, day out, week in, week out, being consistent. And that's when you see God start bringing it back on every wave. My wife and I can contest to that. God is not mocked. He will do what He says He will do, if we'll only get in there with Him. Look at Ephesians 6 right quick, verse 1. I'll read it up here. She get there quick. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now all the kids in here go, oh my gosh, got to obey my parents. You know why you need to obey your parents? Because that's what God says. It's going to turn out good for you if you obey your parents. You're going to be blessed if you'll obey your parents. Besides that, if you're 10, 11, and 12 years old and obey your parents when you're 15, 16, 17, you might get a little slack in your rope. But if you're not, they're going to jerk the slack right out of your rope. And then you're going to be mad at mom and dad when, no, the whole time God said, obey your parents. And it'll work. It'll be well with you. It actually says you'll have a long life. But now all the kids, now that we've kind of chastised all the kids for not obeying God, are we not the children of God? And so here we are again. It's come back full circle. We don't obey God because we look and say, that's not real convenient to us. How many of y'all ever had the rope jerked out of your, or the slack jerked out of your rope? Have you ever seen calf roping? You know what that means? Anybody ever watched the rodeo? They're going down there, throw a loop at the calf. He throws the slack. What happens to the calf? He hits the end of the rope and goes, poof. Whap. That tends to be what happens to us. It's good to obey your parents, but it's also good for us to obey God. It turns out better for us. Now, here's a good one. Now, I don't like these next two. And just straight up. Don't want to, but if I'm going to stand here and say we got to do it God's way, I guess I'm going to have to do this. Go to Matthew 5. I better go to there on this one. Verse 38. says, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say to you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other. Folks, that don't make sense at all. And I really don't know how that's going to turn out for my benefit, but that's what God says. Do you know it takes a bigger guy to turn around and walk off than it does to clean somebody's clock? It really does. Don't know that I'm that big yet. I may be the one to get my clock cleaned. Who knows? But still, that is something that say you go, well, I can't understand that. That's carnal thinking. That's thinking that's still ingrained on the inside of me and the inside of every one of y'all too. That it's carnal thinking. That's what we've got to get rooted out. Do you know how the military dealt with that? Lex can probably, I don't know, he's got totally different stories, but I'm sure they have the same theme. You know how the military gets you to do what they want you to do? They train you, then they put you in a situation where you're under pressure, and they find out how you act. And if you don't act the way they want you to act, they put you through training again. Until you finally come out on the other end that your natural response, I don't know about your natural response, but your response is what the military wants. That's what happens. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing voluntarily in the body of Christ. We get into a situation and we blow up and act all carnal. God says, okay, retrain, retrain, retrain. So you get back there, get a little bit of retraining, and you get in it again. And the next time, retrain, retrain, retrain. Ever heard that song, Should Be Going Around the Mountain? We go around this mountain. But if we'll just learn and go, you know what, let's do it God's way, well, now you're off and you're on to the next thing. I've had more instructors throwing clipboards and everything else while I'm trying to take a munition apart. Not a real one. It's explosively monitored over there, so if you mess up, it blows up over there. I mean, it's not going to blow up right here. But the reason they do that is they want to find out, can you operate under pressure? And in that pressure, how does Dwayne react? And once they find out how Dwayne reacts, now they can help Dwayne react the way you're supposed to react in that situation. Really, the only thing I had a problem was is they would send... Well, when we go on, it's called an RTEP, we'd go out and they would find out how long you can operate and still handle explosives safely. Mine was like at about 24 hours, 23, 24 hours, they come looking for me to get the explosives out of my hands. But everybody else go 48 hours. I mean, I was impressed. Some of those guys go a long time learning how to handle explosives safely. Me, 24 hours, they're like finding he's going to kill somebody. Get the explosives out of the kid's hands. Just training is all it is. But go on. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man shall sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him also thy cloak also. Does that make any sense? No, but I'm telling you, in the long haul, in the long run, that's the way God says to do it, that you're going to be better off, in the end, doing it His way. The only reason it doesn't make any sense to us right now is because we've got that carnal thinking just embedded up here. Okay, now here's the one. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I got in trouble over this one. Because you know what that word compel means? Is to put into public service. And I just got a district court jury duty notice. And I was complaining to my wife about this ain't right. I shouldn't have to go to Del Rio. I shouldn't have to do all this stuff. Matter of fact, I probably handled it a little wrong, didn't I? But you know, they send you a thing and say that you can get out of it for all these reasons, none of which applied to me. But I do have a Colorado elk tag that I've already paid for within these dates. So it says that you can write a letter to the Honorable whoever which I had a problem saying honorable anyway to him. But it said, you can write a letter to him and request to be excused for those dates. So I wrote my letter. I am not asking. I'm telling you. I will not be here these dates. And sent it back. My wife said, they're going to send you to jail. I'm like, I've never been. Let's go try it. You know, just so then I read this scripture. It says, and I'm thinking about preaching about, do it God's way. Do the way God says. You know, in the end, it's going to turn out better for you. Everybody's going to be blessed. And it says, where is it? And whosoever compel thee or ask you to go into public service, don't only go that mile, go with him more. So now I guess I'm going to have to go down there. And I had it all in my brain, how you're going to try to get out of all this. He's guilty, just guilty, just hang them all, just guilty. But now I can't even do that. Because as much as I sit there and my mind goes against what the way I think it ought to happen, I am smart enough to know God is smarter than we are. And there is a way God has said to live this life. And if you will live this life the way God says to live it, you will come out better on the other end. I'm telling you, since Tracy and I have decided, you know, we're going to do to the best of our ability, we're going to live this life, I got no complaints. I'd hate to see us in a marriage without God in it. God blessed the people who don't have God in their lives and are still married. I don't know what they're doing, but with her and I, it's just been, you know, God help us. Okay, he does. When we realize that we need to do it God's way. Now I'm sure y'all have all got your own stories, what's come up in the last week of when I say, well, I didn't do it right. Then it goes back to the military story. If you don't do it right, that is just now your opportunity to get back in training and go, you know what, I didn't do it right. We're going to do it better next time. And even if that takes years down the road, so long you're working on it, I think you've got all of God helping you. It's when we get kind of hard-headed and hard-hearted and turn and say, you know what, I just take the giving, for instance. I don't think that's right. I'm not giving anything. Matter of fact, that preacher over there don't like what he's doing with it, don't like what they're doing with it. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to. Well, you can expect not to see the blessings of God in your life in that area. You can just expect it, because you can have all the money in the world and still not have the blessing of God on your life. And that's what we're after. You're after the blessings of God on your life. That life is not hard. Life is a joy. And that is pretty tough in South Texas in August. If you work anywhere outside. But it we need to be joyful. Go to one more scripture. Proverbs 14:12. I'll tell you the story. It has nothing to do with this, but while you're looking at that. One time we were, actually it's Travis and I, were building a barn. And that was before the days when we had augers and that type of stuff. And him and I were out there with a crowbar, digging in a rock, trying to dig rock holes. And my wife had prayed for us that it was in August. My wife had prayed for us the night before, she said, and she prays this a lot. She says, God, give them a cool breeze. And when she said that, I was like, Tracy, it's August. There ain't no cool breeze till we get somewhere around Colorado. We might find a cool breeze. So anyway, him and I are out there digging in a hot, and I sit down there, and a cool breeze just went. And I was like, that's interesting. But I said, God, what was that? And you know what it was? How many of you know if you finally sweat your shirt through, any breeze is a little cooler? But it took some changing on my part from not sweating to sweating your shirt through in order to get that cool breeze. In other words, God doesn't always answer your prayer the way You want him to answer it. There was really no cool breeze until I went out there and worked my little rear end off. And once that there was a cool breeze blew there. Bill and I were out there in the hangar yesterday and a cool breeze come through. You know why? Because we were sweating. Cool breeze. Proverbs 14:12, what say? There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Especially teenagers, young people, be real careful who you're listening to in life. Be real careful who is the one that you're trying to pattern yourself after or to live after. Because there is a way that seems right to a man. There is a way that seems right to carnal thinking. It seems right, but the end is the way of death. And this, well, I was going to read this. Not really this, but what's in here, the Bible, that's what's right. That is what is going to keep your feet on a solid foundation. That is when you keep that in mind. You do it the best of your ability. Ask God to help you. That is where you will not fall. You may get pushed a time or two, but you will not fall. Amen? Y'all hungry? Amen. When's Robert coming back? He's going to be back today? Today. All right. Y'all pray for him. He's on his way back. Last time he came back from that back there, he got pulled over for supposed drug charges. Y'all know that? Y'all know that story? Well, if you don't, I better explain it because that'll be all over town. You have to go through the Border Patrol checkpoints there. And evidently what they finally figured out, he was in the church. Did he take the blue one? Did he take it this time? No, he's still there. He was in that vehicle, stopped at a convenience store, and evidently one of the ways that the drug cartel and stuff gets their drugs through is they find some innocent, unsuspecting person and they have liquid marijuana, right? And they come up there and they spray it on the car. So now, and then they get in right behind that car or somewhere behind that car. And when they're pulling your vehicle apart, taking all the seats out of it and all that, they drive through. Well, guess what they did? They had him locked up over there in a little room tearing his car apart. Because somebody had sprayed that liquid marijuana on the car. So anyway, pray for him. That I told him, I said, you know how to do this is fill up when you leave and don't stop till you get through the, just keep going. Don't stop. Take a lot of water. Amen. Well, stand up. Father, I just thank you today that Your word is what we need in our lives to fulfill the mission you've put us here for, Lord. We just thank you that you give us the wisdom to walk in it. Lord, I thank you that you took care of everybody that went to Guatemala, got them back safely. Lord, I just thank you that their lives are changed forever. Lord, I just thank you for those people who have it in their heart that want to go, that they can go, that this church will make that happen for them. I ask you to bless our pastor as he's on his way back and bless these people in Jesus' name. Amen. Dinner on the grounds, it's all over there.